The following show is dedicated to Mia Park and Barbara Yang. The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and you're listening on WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. And I'll give the phone number out every once in a while, 518-580-5783. That's 580-5783 if you have a question with our guest or you just want to call up and say hi. This morning, I'd like to welcome Timothy Mosman, who is running for the Malta Town Supervisor's position. And he's quite an interesting character. He is going to tell us about himself, and it's a pretty interesting fella. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Rick.
Thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hey, listen, this is a great studio.
Oh, it is.
It's best to do with the 80s music. Grew up in the 80s. Loved the 80s music. Went to high school during the 80s.
Oh, isn't it great? I'll tell you, awesome. We'll listen to it at about, 7 o'clock on a Friday night or during the weeknight, and tell me how you like the music.
That's great.
It's kids' music, and I don't know, it's a little different than what we grew up with, but it's great. You're running for town supervisor. We had talked, we met and talked for about an hour, and I was just really impressed with your vision of what's going on in Malta and what you have planned. But tell us a little bit about yourself. You've had an interesting life.
Yes, and, I have. Yeah. Craig Warner is with me as well.
Okay, Craig Warner is here. What is that? And we're going to refer to Craig as the peanut gallery because he may have some things to say. But I'm glad you're here, Craig.
Thank you very much.
A little bit about myself is I grew up in Balsam Spa. We had 8 people in our family. So it was my mom and dad and 6 kids. And, my mom and dad did a great job with us and put a lot of leadership in me and really kind of raised me the right way. Going through the school system in Balsam Spa as a young kid, I had a lot of great teachers, a lot of great role models that really put me in a position to be a decent leader. I'm going to give a shout out to St. Mary's School in Balsam Spa. We'd be surprised how many politicians are out there now that actually graduated from St. Mary's. But after I graduated high school in 86, that's why I love that 80s music, graduated in 86, I ended up going to college, becoming an educator. And then after I graduated from college, I came back to Balsam Spa and I've been teaching for 32 years and Balsam Spa, and it's been a great, great adventure. And now it's time for me to continue to go out and put myself out there and go to be run for Malta Town Supervisor.
Okay. You're retired now from teaching, right?
That's correct.
Okay. But you do keep your hands in children's programs. I mean, I know you're a referee for a sport.
I do, Rick. So one of the things I told myself that I would make sure I do is that stay involved with the youth. And so I've been teaching and coaching at Balsam Spa for many years as well. And I also did a lot of travel stuff with AU basketball. But more importantly, with the school system that I'm with right on Balsam Spa, I coach track and field over there. I'm doing cross country right now. And it's an unbelievable opportunity for me as not only a person to be coaching young kids and bring them to the right direction, but also to stay involved with the school system. So a few other things. There's a lot of things that go on over in Balsam Spa that are great things that go over there. There's many different other types of programs at Balsam Spa as well. From the you have different the true programs and on and on and on. That we have a lot of great people over there that not only volunteer their time, they spend hours and hours and hours with these kids, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, well, one of the things I like about that is your commitment to. You're retired and you just didn't give up. and let it go, walk away from it. You know, your commitment still to Boston Spa School District and the kids is a great example of, you know, how you are dedicated to what you're doing. And one thing I like, too, we got talking about, is that I work at the track in the summer. So I'm around horses, people too up there, but horses. And you've got quite a background in horses, too.
Well, so obviously growing up as a young kid in Saratoga County, the place to be is at the track for the horse races. But it took a kind of a turn when my daughter was younger. We decided to, she liked riding, so we got involved in the show horses. And so my daughter, Kylie, and my family have been traveling to different events and all over the kind of the Northeast, per se, and doing a lot of showing. And there's a lot of kids out there that actually do the showing, the horse showing, the equestrian, and it's a great opportunity for kids to do other things that aren't your normal, your athletics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's an amazing thing.
Yeah. And, I mean, horses and I don't get along unless I'm not paying attention to them. But I have a friend of mine that, you know, I was talking to you about, and there's something about horses that are a calming influence, and people that get involved with horses, like your daughter, I mean, they just fall in love with them and they're just dedicated to them. And who knows, maybe she'll come to Skidmore someday. They got a great riding program. But I found out that local kids don't like, I mean, there are local kids that come here, but they don't like coming to Skidmore only because it's too close to home. And they want to be at a college where they can do their own thing. So, and I have mom and dad look over their shoulder. But anyway, that's great.
So when it comes to Skidmore, that is a spot that my daughter Kylie and the team, we'll call it, have been over here many times to ride over here and had unbelievable great experiences over there. It's got great facilities here.
Oh, they do.
They have amazing facilities.
Oh, they do. And they're a top-notch team, too. I mean, they've won a lot of national champions. Well, let's get into some of the things that you're interested in Malta, as it is a growing community in that. One of the things I like to talk to you about are the sheriff patrols. And you just had an incident the other day in Malta. But tell us about, you know, what your idea about the sheriff patrols are.
Well, first I'd like to throw a shout out, obviously, to the sheriff patrols and our first responders in Malta and Saratoga County. They've done an unbelievable job. They work extremely hard. But a couple of disturbing things that happened this past year, where law enforcement was forced to engage in the use of deadly physical force that resulted in the loss of 3 lives.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. This is sad. You know, my prayers go out to the families that have been affected by these incidents. That includes the families of the law enforcement people, too, as well. They literally sacrifice their lives every time that they leave their house.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a tough thing. We also read there were 2 incidents resulting in large seizures of fentanyl by law enforcement this past year as well. So obviously the crime is on the rise over in Malta. These matters are troubling. Just the other day we had a young lady that was in the parking lot at Malta over in you know, in our business district over there in Malta. She had her purse snatched in the middle of the day at 2:00 in the afternoon. That was disturbing.
Yeah.
So now they're investigating all that and seeing what's going on. On that as well. Like I said, these are troubling. But what's more troubling is that the Curtin Town supervisor, she cut the sheriff's patrols out of the town budget. I don't know how, you know, these types of things are happening. You know, when the sheriff's patrols, we had a contract, and when the contract was there, yeah, the crime was down. It was because we actually had sheriff's patrols and they were visible.
Sure. Well, you need that, I think, you know, and you can talk more about this because it's an important subject, but it seems like there's more and more criminal activities happening all over the place. I mean, Saratoga is a good example. I mean, they've had a real tough time the last few years. And you had said they put their life on the line all the time, and they do. I mean, it's terrible. And fire too. I mean, you know, they go to a fire and people are taking pot shots at them or throwing things at them. And so it takes a dedicated individual to go into law enforcement. So how you can eliminate that out of a budget is unbelievable to me.
I mean, we have our first responders have nothing but been amazing over in Malta, Saratoga County. These are volunteers.
Yes.
Like I said, they put their life on the line all the time. And they're good people. I know many of them. And they're just like me and you. They're just good people.
Well, yeah.
That are willing to go out into a fire and, you know, try to save lives as much as they can.
Yeah.
And they do a great job with it. They train all the time. It's awesome to have them around. You're going to definitely want them if something happens.
Exactly. So. Now, was it the supervisors... sole job to eliminate the item out of the budget?
Well, basically what happens is that the contract comes up for renewal, and then the sheriff's department will send a message over to an email over to the supervisor asking mm-hmm. if they want to continue to move it forward.
Right.
Contract forward. And our present supervisor sent a message back stating that we weren't going to move it forward. And then moving forward, you know, we want to try to get it back in the budget. But as of right now, no one's put it back in the budget. I don't believe it's in the budget for next year. I know they're going through the pre-budget things right now, but it doesn't seem like it's in the budget for next year either. And that's something that if I become multi-town supervisor, that I would definitely bring back the sheriff's patrol so we can have safety in our town. We have many seniors in our town, and we have many young kids in our town. I think it's important that they're safe. We get speeding, you know, I'm getting a little bit past this, but like with the amount of speeding that's going on in developments, with the amount of crime that's going on, you know, with young kids playing in the summertime outside, people going out into the middle of the road and, you know, chasing a ball, what it might be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's serious accidents.
Now, if there is a problem in the town and the sheriffs aren't covering it, what happens?
I don't want to get totally like we don't have any patrols.
No, we do.
There are sheriffs that are in and out of Malta. And
right.
As the state police, we in and out of Malta. We have those types of things. But the sheriff's contract that we did have had to do with sheriff patrols that were staying in Malta. And, you know, they had 8-hour shifts, you know, 3 8-hour shifts at
sure.
the time when we had the contract before, that their primary goal was to stay within Malta and patrol Malta. And that's something I think when we had those, you had a visual of the sheriffs around. And I think that kind of persuaded things to keep things down so the crime was down. You know, we can go back to last year and we can just see all the different things that have happened. Now, we can say that they're because, oh, we didn't have sheriff patrols, or we can say that they were, you know, they happened because we had sheriff patrols. But the problem, I think, the biggest thing is that it's the visual of having them around. It's going to, you know, if they're patrolling through developments or they're patrolling the streets, people can see that.
And we'll get into the growth issue in a little bit, but with a growing area like Malta, children play, they run out in the road, or you get speeding, and it seems like more people speed today. I think they think they're in Europe, because I know in my job, I drive a small school bus, and I go through mobile home park, and the speed limit's 10 miles an hour, and most of the people that go through there are people that live in there, and they're going 30 miles an hour, and you got so many kids there. People don't pay attention to speed limits anymore. And it is a dangerous thing. So, and especially, like I said, Malta's growing like crazy. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But you'll have a new sheriff, too, I think. Saratoga County's going to have a new sheriff this year, correct?
So, yeah. So, Jeff Brown is the undersheriff right now, and he's running for election. Jeff is an amazing guy.
Yeah, he is. I know a little bit about him.
Yeah, so, yeah. I got to know him over the last year or so. And he is really, really dedicated. He really is. He's out there. He's well respected and liked amongst everybody in Saratoga County and the communities. And, you know, he's a young guy that's got he's got a young family. So he's definitely going to be looking out for the towns and the communities.
Good. And as being undersheriff, he's got a lot of knowledge of how the operations are as far as running the department. And Saratoga County is a huge county. So
he's got 20, I think it's 20, don't quote me on it, but I think it's like 20, 26 or 27 years of experience already.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty neat. That's good. Well, we'll wish him good luck too, you know. One of the things is, you know, where I lost my train of thought here. The way that the meetings are being run. Now, I know, and I keep hating to give an example of Saratoga, but you learn a lot of things about how situations should be and how they are. In Saratoga, a couple years ago, before our mayor, John Stafford, got into office, the meetings were very contentious. And a lot of confusion, and people didn't like that. And I think you want to address that a little bit too, don't you?
I do. I do. I think it's disturbing is the way that the town board meetings are being run. I have been attending these meetings and noted that there's no consensus among the board members right now. The current town super seems that, you know, the council members in the dark about a lot of things, and they get their information at the last minute. I don't think that's appropriate. This is not just a partisan matter. Councilwoman Barbara Connor has remarked about this problem's open board meetings. You know, I just think, you know, you go to board meetings that everybody should have the information before you go in and be able to review it prior, send things out to people.
Sure.
And let them understand that when you go to a board meeting, you're sitting in front of, you know, the community, that you're one and you're going to work together for the best interest of the community. And if you're going in there and you're not knowing what it is, you know, you got different board members that are even, they're saying out loud that, you know, we don't have the information. We need to wait. I can't say to this because I don't have all the information on it. I think that's not how you lead. I think you need to lead differently. Being a good leader is making sure that your team, and that's what you are, you're a team. And I've been building teams forever with sports and athletics.
Yeah, I mean, you've shown that over the years. And, you know, you want to have a knowledgeable board because, like you said, you're representing the community. And when community members go, they expect their elected officials to know what's going on and what they're talking about. You don't want them hemming and hawing on issues that pertain to them. So, yeah, I'm glad. And you do have a way of bringing people together, obviously, through your teaching career and now in your sports. So, you know, you got a lot of pluses going for you on this. And as you've been going out, you know, meeting people and that, knocking on doors, which I think is the most important thing that a person running for office can do, is knock on as many doors as you can. What's your consensus on how they feel about the way things are going as far as getting information?
All right. So one of the things that it's one of the, I actually enjoy going out and talking to people, knocking on doors, and what's fun about it, and like what's interesting is that we go out and I've knocked on over 2,000 doors already. Jeez. And I'll be continuing to knock on doors, is meeting the people of the past. Like when I know some of the parents I've had as students, I just aged myself drastically right there. But, you know, when you go up to the doors and you reintroduce yourself to people and they bring back so many good memories of things that there are, you know, a lot of them have concerns about, you know, different things that are going on, from overgrowth to security that's going on, the speeding and developments. There's just a lot of things that, you know, and one of the bigger things too is just like the assessments and, you know, how the houses are being assessed every year. And, you know, that's just something that we need to look at all these things, and we need to talk as a team and figure out, you know, how can we help these people? How can we help them to move forward and get them to stay in Malta? Because that is out there, that people are saying that if things don't change, they don't know if they want to stay in Malta. It's just, it's getting expensive.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that that's something that we can help with and try to bring that down. So bring our taxes down through different avenues and help these people. Like I said, walking door to door, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing it. And what's heartbreaking is when you talk to people out there that it's especially like seniors. You're talking to seniors and they're telling you that, you know, we've owned this house and our families for generation after generation. And then all of a sudden now they're being taxed out of them.
Yeah.
And that's a serious concern.
And, you know, that's happening all over, too. I mean, this area, and I think part of it, and I always, when we bring up discussions about Saratoga, I think the Northway has made areas all along from Albany straight up through the north populated. It's easier for people to get off, easier for products to get to the areas, and growth is really something. And do you as a town supervisor have to deal with the state on issues, or is that not part of the job?
It is part of the job. You always have that interaction between the state and Department of Transportation. You always have that operation. The other thing that you brought up is the traveling up 87, mm-hmm. all the exits, they're really influenced by the ease of getting on and off a major route to go to Albany and then to back. And that's created a lot of this growth.
Yeah.
Because of 87. You're always working with the Department of Transportation, Albany.
Yeah.
I'm always down there. I mean, I love working with Albany and the different regional operations that happen in Albany are actually supported by other communities and counties as a whole.
Okay.
And that's vital.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you have to have that input and that dialogue.
Or you lose out on programs or money or whatever if you don't.
Next week I'm going to be down in Albany. I help out in a regional planning commission, and I'm also treasurer of the youth center in Albany.
Oh, wow.
That houses juvenile offenders.
Okay.
And I love that passion. I love the interaction. I've always kind of gravitated towards the whole social aspect of youth growing up. And I enjoy that.
Yeah. Well, you know, with your knowledge, too, you can give Tim some valuable insight to areas that, you know, he may not or not think of, or things that he could put in place in the town also, you know. One of the things, too, about growth, and Tim had alluded to a lot of seniors, which probably is the biggest population now with the baby boomers, that if you've lived in a house for so long and you have to get out of it for a reason, trying to find something else, you can't afford to do it around here.
That's correct.
Because every area now is growing so much, and the prices of housing or even apartments are outrageous. So, you know, they're, it's good that you're trying to find ways to keep those in place.
There's different ways that we can help out with, you know, trying to get seniors some different ways to save on their taxes. And the biggest thing is just educating them. Having opportunities for them to come in and do seminars or do have committees on just educating them on the different things that are actually out there that they can do. Just a little bit more about the growth of Malta. You know, it plays a critical role in shaping our community's future, though. The growth is huge. It's equally important to recognize the risks associated with it, unchecked and exclusive development. So when we have the overdevelopment, it can threaten the very family-oriented atmosphere that we made Malta such an amazing place to live. My challenge is to pursue growth with common sense and ensure that every step forward aligns well, what truly is best for Malta. And I've lived in Malta for 25 years. Obviously, I talked earlier about growing up in Balsa Spa, so obviously they're connected. And, you know, I've seen the growth. And, you know, growth is good, but I believe that we also have to have common sense. You know, we're just building so many apartments right now everywhere. And I think we need to put a halt on the apartments. And, you know, we've got to bring businesses in. We got to have smart growth coming in to help with the taxes. And I think if we sit down and we work together, I think we can move it. We do. I'm going to get into a moratorium in a little while. Yeah. But, you know, we're very dedicated to have a team of town employees who work tirelessly for our community. We can't thank them enough for their efforts to be successful. We need effective leadership. Leadership that consistently puts Malta first.
Sure.
Is committed to building a strong working team. And I believe this is where I come in.
I've never been a politician. My father was, but I've been involved in Saratoga politics, being on different committees. And I moved up in '86, and my wife is from Saratoga. When we got married, she wanted to be near her parents, so we moved to Saratoga. And at that time, Saratoga was just starting to rebuild again. And I'm a member of Kiwanis, and we had the Commissioner of Finance as a guest speaker, who ended up, Ken Klotz, ended up becoming Mayor of Saratoga. And he was talking about the growth of Saratoga and how good it was. And I said to him, is growth ever a bad thing if it's not managed? And he said, well, you want growth. And I said, yeah, but you know, you're putting new housing developments in, tying into old infrastructure. So that's taxing the old infrastructure, which you're going to have to redo. And because there was unmanaged growth at the time, they just wanted to build and get people into Saratoga Springs. And it just, I don't know. And it just seemed to me that with that attitude of just building to build is not a good thing. And and you just alluded to the growth in Malta. I mean, anybody that has lived around here over the last, I'm going to say 8 to 10 years, Malta's not what it was. I mean, when you drive down 9, I mean, I go down with this friend of mine, Barbara. She likes Asian food because she's from China, and American food is bland to her. But we go to this, I take her to this pho restaurant, a Vietnamese restaurant down there. And I'm always amazed when I pull up to park in front of there with the buildings. And it's really nice looking down there. It really is. I mean, it's getting to be a little bit of more of a rural town into not an urban town, because it still has that charm of being,
family.
Right. Family oriented and that. But your opinion on the growth
Rick, I think growth is vital in our community. You know, for our community's future, we got to have it. But it's got to be, you know, unchecked development can only harm Malta. If we want to keep the family atmosphere, then we got to make sure that we don't have unchecked. We got to make sure that the development moving forward is smart. We have to have common sense when we start to move the development forward. You know, where we bring businesses in, you know, it's the size of businesses that we're bringing in. I don't, you know, Malta doesn't want these big box stores.
No.
They don't. The community doesn't want those down there. But we got to bring in retail. We got to bring in, you know, maybe family restaurants. We need to bring in things downtown that people can go and enjoy and have a walk in the downtown district where they can enjoy it. And it's not just big box stores and so on and so forth. They don't want that.
Right. But I think, too, what you need, you need to keep people shopping in Malta to get the sales tax and the revenue to help keep taxes down. So you don't want them to get on the Northway and head up to Lowe's or Home Depot. So you have to, and I mean, we're fortunate here. We have a business that's been a hardware store here for years and years, and they do carry a lot of stuff that the big box stores do. So you can shop local without having to get up and going out to exit 15. So I think that's managed growth and an idea of how to keep businesses, like you said, bring businesses in that people can stay in Malton, not have to jump up and go somewhere, you know. When I moved to Saratoga, we had a Jamesway in the back of our development, and it was nice having just to get in your car and going, you know, a half a mile or a mile, but to do some shopping without having to go out to, yeah, out to the big area out there. And so I hope that's part of, you know, your plan too, is to keep people to shop local.
And I think we have the, you know, we have the community now that there's enough that will support the business that we're bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
When we move out with smart development, you know, I'm not against, you know, building housing developments and so on and so forth, but I think we need to just sit back and, you know, with the moratorium in, it's helping us. you know, but I think we just got to make sure that moving forward, you know, where are we going to put things?
Right.
We can't use up all the good spots in downtown for apartments. And there's right now there's a bunch of stuff going on. We'll talk a little bit about that with the moratorium about, you know, some of the stuff that's already in because it got plugged in before the moratorium took place. But I definitely want to talk about, you know, the hard work that our employees are doing each and every day. you know, I think the employees that are in Malta, they work extremely hard. They go to their job every day and they work together. But I do believe what they're doing also depends on the strong leadership in the direction of Malta's, you know, interests. And I don't think the leadership that's in Malta right now, and our present supervisor, is really leading in the right way. I think you got to have, you know, the climate amongst all the employees needs to be positive. People got to want to go to their jobs, they'll work harder. You know, as a supervisor, you got to understand that when your employees come to you and they're talking to you, that there's an emotional tie to that. And that really, you know, you got to understand that there's a reason why they came to you. And it's your job to listen and understand that, hey, what they're saying to you means something.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you got to do your due diligence and you have to go out and you have to research what they're talking about and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I think it's important that you have, when I say relationship, you have to have a good working relationship with your employees and know who they are, you know about them. They're not just an employee.
No.
And being a leader, you have to understand that you have to help them and direct them and give them the resources they need to make sure that they can get their job done correctly.
Right. And, you know, as a person that is going to be in charge, you foster a good relationship and a good atmosphere for the employees to work in, because that means an awful lot. You want, as you said, you want them to show up for work every day being enthusiastic about the job they're doing, which they're doing a great job, but you want to keep that going. And having a little bit of chaos can really demoralize employees, and you know, you don't want that. You want good leadership. And obviously, I mean, I keep going back to this. You've shown good leadership in the past. So, and the part about being retired is that you've got the time to get more involved in doing things than someone that's got an 8-to-5 job or whatever. So I, you know, just your style is going to be a benefit to the town.
Well, I think a lot of the way I was brought up, and then I got involved in coaching, and my whole desire was to just include and to keep people involved. And then when I actually got into coaching, and, you know, I got involved in coaching Nike and traveled the country coaching Nike with the City Rocks program down in Albany, and, you know, coaching with the highest levels, you got to take teams. You get kids from different states, and you bring in, so you're getting the best players from different areas, and you bring them in for one common goal, and that's to win a national championship. And, you know, we did that a few times. And I just think that what's important is that, about this whole statement, is that you're bringing people together for one common goal. You're being a leader. And, you know, you can relate some of that stuff back and forth, you know, and being on committees, you know, in different areas and stuff like that, you start to realize that you have to listen to everybody. You got to understand that what they're doing is good, and you got to direct them. And becoming a team is important. And right now, I just don't know if that's 100% true in Malta.
Right. I want to get back to a little bit more about managed growth, because growth for the sake of growth, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, is not good. I think you need a plan on how much you want to do in a certain amount of time, and not just jam everything in just to grow and be, you know, bigger.
I can go a little bit on to the with the growth. I think the town needs to have, and they do, they have a compensation plan that, 20 years out.
Right.
You know, they have that. The moratorium that is in now is the board voted on bringing the moratorium in. It was at the point, at that time, there were 5 on the board and 4 voted yes, and our president supervisor voted no on the moratorium. What the moratorium is doing is giving the board, the town leaders, the opportunity to look at everything and map it out. Rezoning, getting, you know, the ideas on what should we do here, what should we do. So basically taking another look at what do they want our town to look like. What does the community want? Because the board members represent the community. And the community, the board members are talking to the community, which is bringing their ideas, and they should be bringing their ideas to the board, so the plan moving forward and the zoning can all match up. We have people on committees that work extremely hard, from our planning board all the way down through. They work extremely hard. But all the stuff from the outside community has got to have some kind of say in what goes on in the community. So, you know, congratulations to the board the other night. They extended the moratorium because they've been working hard. Our board has been working hard trying to move the moratorium and changing different things in it. Mm-hmm. But they need more time to make sure that they look at it and it's the right way moving forward. And, you know, I don't want to keep knocking our supervisor, which she wasn't a big fan of doing that either. But they did compromise on extending out for 4 months, which is a great thing.
The other thing is also, is years ago, our town, employees addressed our growth, and we had a very concise plan where to put the growth, what kinds of growth. But what happened over the years, I feel, is that the apartments grew faster than the other areas in town. And now the apartments are more than the services offered. And by the moratorium, we have found that we have to stop, reanalyze that growth that was put in front of us to create more of a balanced community. The other thing is we have to allocate spaces in town that serve the residents. The outside areas should not have a massive growth. We have to control that. So I have to commend all our employees. I've always said they're Malta's best assets. They come in, they work hard, and they have supported us throughout many, many years. And hopefully we can control our growth for a positive impact on the services we provide our residents. And they have been growing, so.
That's good. That's good. And Tim's got a great source in you for information and looking back of how to do things. Yeah. I mean, he's got his own ideas, of course, but it's good to have somebody like you to help him through, you know, the process of what's going to happen. As I said, growth just for growth is not good. I mean, you run into a problem where, like, you know, you have more apartments than than you wanted because you wanted to grow. And I think you're smart in trying to bring back more of a balance to your growth. And, you know, I commend you a lot for that because most people just want to grow. And they think that's the best way to build a community, but it's really not.
Well, we do have, Rick, we have, prior to the moratorium going in, there were some applications that came in prior to the moratorium getting set, where they were talking about doing the moratorium, and then finally it went in. But prior to that, we had two or three different applications got approved, and as long as they followed the zoning, they could go through. So mm-hmm. we do have a couple more apartments that are going to be built over in Malta, complexes, mm-hmm. that, you know, but now that the moratorium is in, you know, we're putting a hold on that, changing some zoning and stuff so we can, you know, just move forward smartly. And I just think that's so, so important.
Sure. How do you keep in touch with your constituents, with the residents during your time in office? And you know, I just bring this up because I saw how it worked in the city. My father was an alderman in the city I grew up in, and of course they had wards, which you don't have in a town. But he had a meeting once a month. It was in our church cafeteria of the voters in the ward. Or the people in the ward, then they came out with ideas or what they felt. And he took that all in. And when he went to a council meeting, he had a little more of an idea of what the residents wanted, rather than just meeting somebody on the street and saying, you know, what do you feel about this?
So some of the stuff that I've said, because when I knock on doors, I actually talk a little bit about this. One of the things, I won't lead from behind a desk. I'm going to be out and about. Being who I am, I got to be out and about talking. Obviously, I'm doing my work that I need to do at the mm-hmm. office. But, and I will always be there. I mean, sure. I'm a workaholic when it comes to things. So my job pretty much isn't from Monday to Friday all day. The weekends as well, so I'll always be working. even though my wife would probably yell at me, hey,
well, you know what? That's part of the game, you know.
But so some of the ideas that, in just being a coach and just being, you know, the person that I am, I'm talking to different people in the community and having different areas. So like having meetings, like you were just talking about, those types of conversations I've had with the community members and knocking on doors, and some of those questions come up. So how, you know, what is a way, Tim, that we can be more, you know, in tune to what's going on in town, and how can we get our ideas out there? And, you know, I talked to them a little bit about, you know, I'm going to be having meetings, whether we have them at different locations, depending on different developments, have different conference rooms, so on and so forth, that we can have meetings and get ideas. I'll always have an open communication in the office where people can come in and talk to me. People have concerns, they can email me. I'll get right back to them. You know, there's things in my wheelhouse, we'll call it that. I'll make it opportunities for people that, in case they have concerns or issues.
And that's good, because I think not being above the people, but being among the people is a good way to lead in a politician. You know, you're one of them, and you're looking out for them. So you want feedback from them. And not everybody's feedback is great, but it's great. It's good that you're thinking that way.
And I think one of the other advantages too is that, you know, being in the community for so long, and being a teacher for so long, that, you know, running into people and just knowing people, and people already knowing who I am and what I represent, and they've known me for many years. So it's not like, you know, I'm sitting out here for the first time and people don't know who I am,
right?
And they're not saying, "Oh, is this really Tim? Is this really what Tim Olson's going to do?" Where you know, they already know me. They've known what I've done for the last 20 plus years. They already know me that, hey, these are things that he does.
Sure.
These are things that he's proven over time.
You know, we have tried that your father had uh-huh. every Saturday. Uh-huh. And we found in the past that people didn't show up to times.
Right.
So my best way that I found is to interact with the community. I give my phone number out all the time. I got a call the other day on a Saturday at 5:30 in the morning, and I answered it. But he knew up front that I would respond to his concern that was immediate.
Sure.
And they become very receptive to that.
Oh, yeah.
And once they understand that, I mean, there's a great conversation that happens that we can bring their needs forward.
Yeah. Well, when it gets the call to be 4:30 in the morning, cut it off because you don't want them thinking it's just 24 hours a day. Yeah.
But, Rick, I also feel that, you know, when people know that they're being heard, they're going to show up.
Well, yeah.
And I think that definitely. You have meetings and you're going to have them, let's say, like every Saturday.
Or even once a month. I mean,
right. You're having community meetings where people know when they come in, they can come in and they can be heard and that their vision or their issues are actually going to be addressed and you're going to talk to them sincerely, you know, then more are going to come. They're going to come to it and the word's going to get out there.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to get into assessments in a minute or a little bit. We've got about 10 minutes to go. So, you know, but one of the things, too, that I think is as a town supervisor, you're also part of a bigger vision, and that's the county. I mean, you're the leader for your town, but you also have to take in consideration what's good for the county also.
Correct.
And so you've got quite a job. People just think, oh, well, he's town supervisor. He's not going to do much anyway, just look over the town. But you got to make sure you get from the county what the town is supposed to get.
Right. I think you got to have a, you know, obviously there's multiple jobs involved. The one, my primary job, obviously, is my town and my community. In the big picture, you have the Saratoga County and being on that committee and working with all the committee members of the town supervisors together, you know, you're setting laws and you're discussing the issues that are involved in the community. Just, and for example, you know, when it came to animal abuse registry, they just put in there, you know, shout out to Jeff Brown and Brett Eby for their hard work and Phil Barrett for pushing this through and getting this through. For those who don't know, the animal abuse registry is something that is out there now where people are either going to pay fines, possibly jail time, for what they're doing to animals. And now that law has been passed, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing that we are now, you know, taking care of our four-legged friends from being, you know, abused.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because, I mean, before constant abusers, you really couldn't do much about it. And, you know, it's sad. So let's talk a little bit about property assessments.
Well, that seems to be the hottest topic out there involved right now.
Yeah.
All right. So just to give you some ideas, I'm going to start right out of the gate by saying our assessor and her staff in Malta have been nothing phenomenal. They're great people. They work extremely hard. And I've had conversations with them about different parts of assessment and getting educated on the 100% assessment from them, as well as going to other districts. I always do my due diligence and go out and I talk to other assessors, ones that don't have the 100% assessment as well, and try to get my own views and how I can help Malta with different things. There are some good things about the 100% assessments when it comes to sales tax, so on and so forth. But does it offset the other parts of the tax being raised and stuff like that? So, but I think our assessors have done a great job, and they do some meetings with the community. They do some educating with the community. I wish that they would do a little bit more to educate. I think the average person that lives in Malta right now, they don't really understand 100% assessment, and it is difficult. But I do understand that it is an issue in the sense that we're raising our taxes, and it's primarily the school taxes. With 100% assessment, your assessment goes up, your school taxes go up, your other taxes will probably stay the same. There's possibility of them going down a little bit. So there's different ideas, and I don't want to get all the different ideas right now on a, you know, on the air right now until I become supervisor. But, you know, I think that I talked earlier about, you know, let's educate our seniors on the different tax breaks that they can get. Let's educate people on the way it works, and where we go. Am I a big, huge fan of it? I want to let people know I understand it's an issue, and I understand that I will spend many, many, many hours and hours and hours to try to help fix it, to help our seniors. I'm going door to door, and when I knock on the door and I have an elderly person almost in tears because they're going to lose their house, mm-hmm. you know, because they've owned it for, you know, their family's owned it for 200 years. They're going to lose it because of what the assessments are doing for their homes and or their taxes. And I just think that's got to be fixed. Yeah. And there are programs, and sometimes the programs they just don't know about.
Right.
And some you have to renew every year, some you don't. But that's something we definitely got
to
get into.
Have to work on. Hey, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. If you have a question for Tim, give us a call at 518-580-5783. 580-5783. We've got about maybe 5 minutes left to the show, so he's willing to take a phone call if you want to do so. And there's a lot of topics that he's talking about that are going to be good for the town, and he's got the knowledge of how to work with the constituents and willing to talk to everybody, as evidence about hitting over 2,000 homes already. That's why you want to control growth too, so you don't have to go to so many houses. it's a tough job, but when you have the knowledge that you do about how that you want to make things work and tweak things that are working to make them better, I think that's a great benefit for someone like you going in, because you know what's going on, and you can see things that can be improved. You haven't been entrenched in office and just went to status quo, because that'll not make a ripple somewhere, because you're always going to have problems. That's a given. But, you know, keep up. What about the youth programs that you have in the town?
So we have, right now, we have amazing people running our youth programs, rec programs. But one of the things that we need to work, I think, a little bit harder on, and I will be working with, obviously, with my background in athletics and so on and so forth, is like, what do we have in Malta for the ages of 13 to 18? For those kids that do in the wintertime, we do have a lot of different types of, you know, parks and things, stuff to do in the summertime. But what do we have in the wintertime? So that's something that I'm definitely be working with our rec programs, and I know we have the community center. What are there bigger things that we could do to help them get off the streets? I mean, right now the schools districts did a great job of getting the kids off the cell phones for the day.
Yeah,
that's been a major mental health thing for a while. But the schools are doing a great job with that. But how can we continue that in the community to get them actively involved in different things? Right now they go home once they're doing Malta. They have to go to other locations to even go to movies or, you know, go bowling, anything like that. They have to go somewhere else.
Right.
A lot of our stuff is in the summertime stuff, but they got some great things going on. But let's increase that. Let's move things into the wintertime and see what kinds of things that we can do additionally besides just the monthly community center.
No, I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but are there any plans for a community center type of venue for the kids? I know that's a huge, huge thing.
It is a huge thing, and I've talked to a couple of the other supervisors about different things. How can we work together to build different things so we can make kind of like a community thing and have more than just Malta come in on it, this and that. But again, I'm totally working like as a team, so for me to sit here and say, hey, I'm going to do this and this without the input from the board members in the community, I don't think that would be, you know, appropriate. But I do have some good ideas about, I'd like to bring a rec center in, a bigger rec center, and we can have multiple activities inside this rec center. But it will take some hard work to get it through.
And money.
Working with people and money. And
but I know Saratoga had built a rec center during Scott Johnson's term, and I was talking with somebody the other day, what that's done for the city as far as bringing people in for different activities. Right. I mean, it's amazing. You know, they use the restaurants. If it's a big tournament thing, they use the hotels. I mean, it's just an amazing thing.
Right. There's different things out there that we can bring in that, you know, you attach businesses to it, so on and so forth. So now you're getting them to pay for itself. Mm-hmm. The biggest expense for some of this stuff might be the upfront stuff. But then, you know, we can get it to take care of itself by attaching business and stuff.
Yeah, well, you know what you do is you attach a name to that and have them donate some big money to have the center named after them. That seems to work on a lot of things, you know. But, yeah, that's good. I mean, forward thinking and something like that, because I'm sure you're getting a lot of more younger families moving into the area. And
that's one of the things a lot of the younger, you know, you're 17, 18, 19-year-olds, and you get your, like, 15, 6-year-olds. That's one of the things. Well, coach, what are you going to do, you know, over there for us? We have nothing to do in the winter.
That's right. That's right.
So, that's something I want to...
Well, that's good. Yeah, excellent. Why don't you wrap it up? We only have about a minute left, you know.
Well, I'd just like to say, you know, thank you for everybody for listening. I'm always open for conversation. If you ever want to, you know, give me a call or email me, it's all over the place out there. You can email me at tmosman43@gmail.com. Send some questions, whatever. I can answer any questions that you like. Again, get out and vote. It starts the early voting October 25th. And then, obviously, November 4th is the big day. So we need to get people out to vote. If you're in Malta, get out and vote. Vote for Tim Mosman from Old Town Supervisor. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim, and thanks, Craig, for coming in. And Tim Mosman, Malta Town Supervisor. And if you have any questions, do give him a call. He's got a Facebook page, facebook.com/Mosman for Malta. So you can visit that site also. Again, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.